Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Buds podcast. This is episode number 33, and my name is Henry. This week, I'm honored to be joined by composer Jack Wall, known partly for his work on the Call of Duty franchise, most recently Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, as well as Mass Effect 1 and 2, and many others. Jack, thank you so much for taking the time. I really have loved your work for years, and so it really means a lot for you to be here.
Thanks, Henry. I really appreciate you having me. Yeah. And look forward to chatting with you.
Yeah. Well, first off, how's life?
Life is weird. It's really, really bizarre. Yeah, I mean, I'm currently traveling right now, which I probably shouldn't be. but my logic is this. I just finished a big project, which was the Cold War project, and I decided to just get out of the country for a little while because I just felt like I needed, my wife and I felt like we needed a little bit of a change. So we headed out. We were visiting our daughter in London for a while. She's studying acting there. Mm. And we were there for about 3 weeks and then came over to Portugal and we're just kind of traveling around with a car and no particular agenda other than to see this country we've never been to. Yeah. So, but it's so weird because, you know, we just went through 2020, which is perhaps the most bizarre year of all time, mm-hmm. or lifetime at least, the nonsense. So, you know, other than that, we're pretty happy, good. I'm super proud of the work we did on Cold War and my team's awesome. And yeah, just, you know, I can't complain too much. I complain a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you is how did you get started with composing? Like it was music something you always wanted to do?
Yeah. I'm not like a lot of people. Like music was something, was always a huge love, but not like film music, video game music, TV music. Like it wasn't about underscore for me. It was always about writing songs and being in bands and stuff like that. But you know, I have a degree in civil engineering, so I didn't start out with that as my vocation of choice. It wasn't like, I wasn't one of those guys who, you know, listened to the score to Star Wars and decided to be right then and there to become a film composer. It wasn't
right.
Like that. So I just kind of came in through the back door. Only because I was, you know, I started out as a, you know, civil engineer. I only worked for a year after going to school for 5 years for that. And I only worked for a year in that profession. And then I realized, oh man, I could see where I'm going to be in 10 years and it's not that exciting. So,
sure.
So I just went back, like I just took a break, became a bartender and just sort of like, you know, took some time. And while I was doing that, my band and I went into to a studio in Philadelphia and cut like four songs for a demo. And I fell in love with the being in the studio and producing music like that. So I said, oh my God, this is what I want to do. You know, I was like 24 at the time. I was like, this is what I want to do. And so, you know, I just made a beeline for that path and I became a recording engineer. And then from there, I started meeting people and working with various artists as a recording engineer and then became, you know, a producer, started producing bands, you know, cause I loved manipulating audio. I loved, you know, trying to make a song sound better. I love, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I started doing some arrangements for strings and percussion and things like that. And then suddenly, you know, I met my wife who back then was a software designer and a musician. So I met her in the studio and then I found out she was also a software designer doing game design. So she sort of introduced me to this game called Myst, M-Y-S-T, which came out in like 1993 or 4. And I started playing that game and I was like, oh my God, the music in this is so captivating. You know? And so, that's what actually excited me. It was like this ambient music that totally changed what I was experiencing so much so that I was like, okay, now I have to do that.
Right.
So we got, you know, Cindy and I got an opportunity to write for a friend of hers for a game company that had just been started. And the rest is history. I started writing video game music. And then, you know, of course I got into film and TV 'cause why not? You know, if you're writing for video games, it's the same process now, really.
I mean,
it's
just, sure.
You know, different technology, of course, but, you know, your good music is good music. And I learned how to do it underscore wise and telling the story. And, you know, I never really thought of growing up, I never really thought of music as telling a story. And then when I started playing video games, I realized, oh, wow, this is really telling the story. Like, oh my God, without this music, I wouldn't know what the hell to do.
Yeah.
So just sort of fell in love with that process. And that's how I got interested in it. And then, of course, you know, by that point, I was like 30 when I started composing. So, I didn't want to go back to school for it. So I just studied arranging and I studied orchestration and conducting and all that stuff privately with different experts, you know.
Yeah.
Teachers that could help me with that.
Yeah.
And so everything's sort of backdoor for me.
the new Call of Duty game, which is great. I actually heard your score before I played the game. And struck me most was there is this great contrast of like, there's this like clean electric kind of synthy sounds, but also on the other side, there's a very like industrial dark sound, and it fits the 1980s era so perfectly.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. Well, yeah. You know, look, you know, the danger at this point in time, at this very moment in time, is, you know, if you're going to write that era of music and you're going to add synthesizers and whatever, you're inevitably going to sound like Stranger Things or something, you know,
right?
Which is not a bad thing, but I mean, it's so endemic to that, that score. It's like, sort of like I did Mass Effect, you know, years ago, and the mandate for that game was, you know, let's do 80s sci-fi synth, and so, you know, I was doing that back in, you know, 2006 when we were doing Mass Effect 1, and then 2009 when we did Mass Effect 2. So, you know, I was really familiar with that. But what we wanted to do with Cold War is kind of modernize that sound a bit. You know, if you play like Rising Tide, something I did with Jimmy Henson, yeah, Giant Circles, good friend of mine. You know, we love to write them. I always call them to write the multiplayer themes for, this is my fourth Call of Duty, because it's always so successful. We did, Adrenaline together. We did, you know, this is like our third or fourth one we did together. So, of course, I called him and I said, hey, I want to do a synthwave track. And he's like, oh my God, this is going to be so fun. So, but we modernized it. We went back and forth. It was a really fun collaborative process. You know, Jimmy always comes up with some great stuff. And I said, let's do it, you know, let's do this chord progression instead of this one, you know. So it was just a really fun back and forth. I love collaborating with other people because you really get the ideas flowing and the energy stays high the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're writing on your own, it's sort of like you just got to get it done and plow through it. But when you have somebody to bounce things off of, I think it's a great track. I'm really proud of it. So, so there's the sort of with Brian Toohey, who's the audio director, we have a great relationship. Again, it's our fourth Call of Duty together. And, you know, when we work together, it's always just him and I. It's never like a committee of people.
Right.
So that's so rare, you know. It's like, you know, this is a multi-million dollar, you know, property. And it's like for the powers that be at Treyarch and Activision and Raven to like allow us that kind of freedom is just so amazing. And we can just play, you know, we just get to play with ideas and, you know, and that was the first idea we came up with. And it, you know, I always say, you know, it's almost always true that your first idea is your best one. Not always, but like most of the time, like your first idea that you come up with, cause it's a fresh idea. It's like, that's fresh. That's
right.
That's my go-to. And, you know, people ask me how I write all the time. Like, how do you write music? It's like, well, first of all, you're looking at amazing visuals when you're doing it, right? So that is like almost writes itself to me, but it writes itself because I know what it's supposed to sound like, you know, and I could be wrong for a certain person. Like somebody could say, I don't like that track, but for me, I never write something I don't like, you know, I don't like. So I feel that I like it. It's got to be at least good enough for me. And if it, you know, luckily for me, that means it's good enough for other people too. And they just sort of trusted us to do this. So, it really is about like, you know, this dark, you know, Black Ops, it's gotta be dark because it's Black Ops, right? And then the synthesizer was the 80s. And then the modernization was like say in the drums or in the orchestra or, you know, adding certain elements as spices to sort of make it a little sound a little more modern. But that was our main idea there.
Yeah. And another part, great part of the soundtrack is the Russian choir. I know that there's a pretty big, ambitious process to get that made.
Oh, hell yeah. That was in the COVID era, you know, where getting a choir together is a super spreader event. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something I was actually trying to avoid. And like the funny thing was, you know, we knew from the very beginning. I started at the beginning of the year in 2020. I didn't even know I was doing this until November because some shakeups happened at various studios and suddenly Treyarch was doing the next Call of Duty. And I only work with Treyarch right at this point. So Brian called me and goes, oh my God, we're doing a Call of Duty a year early. I'm like, oh shit. Okay. So we decided to, they decided to do that. And then, you know, they brought me on to do it. And we started probably in January, February of this year. And, usually we have more time, but not that much more time. Usually I'd start messing with ideas in November or something, but it was fine. For me, it was a nice pace, but, we're working from there and we didn't know what the game was going to be called. You know, was it, cause it was basically to me, it was just Black Ops 5
right.
or codename Zeus, you know, it was like Zeus is the code name for this game. So we haven't named it yet. And we, you know, and then they keep going. They start sending around like sort of mock-ups of what the title's going to be. And it always said Cold War, but it wasn't guaranteed it was going to stay that name. They were sort of, I don't know, what do you call it? A focus grouping, you know, trying to figure out what was going to resonate with the crowd, you know? So, cause at the end of the day, they got to sell these things to make money. So when it finally, you know, and all this time I'm thinking, well, we're, you know, this it's a Russian storyline, there's a Russian spy and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but the backbone of this thing is Cold War, the time frame that we're in and all that kind of stuff. So, we then I was sort of like, it would be cool to do a choir, but, you know, if I do choir, that's going to be really hard.
Right.
And maybe I should try to avoid doing choir unless it's absolutely necessary. And then they came through and said, yes, it's going to be called Cold War. Here's the logo. And we need you to do a theme for the menu screen. And I was like, oh, it's got to be Russian Men. Got to be right. I mean, there was no question. And we had already done, at that point, I think we had already done two themes with Russian choir and stuff, but it was a full SATB choir. And then when it was like, oh, this is called Cold War, I was like, okay, I'm going to bring back just the men and we're going to do some really masculine sounding, you know, stuff for the main theme. So that's how that went. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, I don't know if you want me to talk about how we did it, but it
Please. I mean, it's, yeah, feel free.
Yeah,
I would love to know.
You know, obviously you can't put people in a room together, and that's the way we like to do it. Cause it's really easy to make changes and on the spot. So instead of doing that, we had to find 32 amazing singers that, you know, had their own setup at home. Mike Pries, you know, DAW software, all that stuff that they could in a quiet room that sounds decent that they could actually record themselves. And so we did it one voice at a time and each person recorded their own part. and to make matters worse, it was really important for me to do it in Russian. So, and Russian is a tough language. It's not one of the romantic languages where you can read it and kind of understand how to pronounce it. like Cyrillic is not readable to Western audience, right?
No.
So I hired a Russian translator who put it in Cyrillic so it would be legible to Russian people, Russian speakers. And then we did had to do a transliteration from that, like sort of sound it out for English speaking people. And then we did, you know, and then also we have the lyrics in English. So I, for the first bit, I wrote all the lyrics myself in English. That's for Bell's theme and another track called 1981 and a few other ones too. And I sent those to the translator and she translated them, transliterated them. And then my choir maestra, who's puts the choir together, Ayana Haviv, would take all of that and then do guide tracks. And then Nino Senekidze, who's our translator, Russian translator, who works for the LA Opera, she would then, you know, sort of do the first thing that would happen is she would slowly pronounce every single word. So you could hear how each word is pronounced. And then Ayana would take those pronunciations and write out the transliterations. So it was even more clear how to pronounce them to her singers, because they're all really good at that. You know, it's like if it's a schwa, they know exactly how to pronounce that. And, you know, she would write those out. And then she would do guide tracks. Nino would then have to listen to those guide tracks. This is all done over Zoom or email or whatever. And then Nino would approve them or make changes. And then once we had an approved guide track from Ayana, she would ask each, like a lead member of each SATB person, a section to do their own guide track. And then once those were done, I had to approve those. Once those were approved, she then sent out the call and it took like 4 or 5 days to get all the tracks back. Then we had a music editor collect all the tracks, clean them up because they were all recorded in different rooms, clean them up, make them sound good, send them off to a mixer, and then it would be mixed later on. So after the recording sessions with orchestra and all that. So it was a pretty complex situation. But it worked. And they sound great.
Yeah.
Really good.
And then you had the rest of the score to do. You know, that was just one piece of the puzzle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honest to God, that process was 2 weeks. And we did two of those. So that's a whole month of just like trying to get the recordings done.
Yeah.
And typically you can get all those recordings done in 4 hours. Like just bring them all in a room and just go, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it was worth it. It was a lot of work to make that work, but totally worth it. And I felt good about employing people who, if you think about it, they're not working now at all. There's no work for those people at all right now because of COVID, and they can't get in a room and they can't work and they can't do what they normally do and sing. And it was just it's a crying shame. So I actually went to the community and I did my own video and said, you know, hey, this is possible. It takes a little more work, but you know, if you can please hire these people, you know, that kind of stuff. So I was trying to get people to see how we did it so that they could, and you know, we kind of mapped out how we did the whole thing so we could pass that on to other composers who wanted to get it done. So,
yeah, you know, very worthwhile project for sure.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, now having done a number of these games, is it, or was actually more so, was getting onto your first Call of Duty game very intimidating, knowing the history and popularity of the franchise? Or was it just that, you know, did it just feel like another project?
No, it felt like a big project. It felt like an important, you know, point in my career. It's like, I don't want to fuck this up. I really don't want to fuck this up kind of thing. So yeah, I feel that way almost on every project. Like,
sure.
You know, why would I want to fuck up anything? But it's just probably a little extra pressure on the first one I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then once I started working with Brian again, like we had worked together, that was 2012. We had worked together 10 years before that on a very little known game called Barbie Secret Agent from
Italy. Oh.
That was really one of my greatest hits right now.
Yeah.
But, and I'm being funny, but I was proud of that too, because my 4-year-old daughter at the time loved that game.
Oh, nice.
And would sit on my lap and play that game. She loved that game. So
that's great.
It's always fun to do things people enjoy. And
Yeah.
That was another one. But Brian and I worked on that many years ago, and then now we're working on Call of Duty Black Ops 2. You know, it's just great. That's then once we did the first one, they invited me back to do the second one. It was just so cool because we had a vibe already. And we just worked together so well. It's so much fun working with those guys.
Yeah. And has it been really creatively stimulating to do multiple in the series, multiple games, like kind of reinvent the sound, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, we play around a lot. Like, there's no through line, really, for most of it. It's all different stories, different characters, usually. But, I've been doing this, my fourth game. If I did a fifth game and we brought characters back from Black Ops 2 or something, it might be fun to kind of bring those themes back. But, yeah, we just kind of reinvent each of these games.
Yeah.
You know, from scratch and make them sound different.
Yeah.
And Cold War was different in and of itself because Black Ops 2, 3, and 4 were, well, 4 is a really different kind of animal because there was no single player campaign in that one. But Black Ops 2 and 3, the campaigns were all over the world, you know, and they were so varied and the story was kind of all over the place and almost like sandbox. Like every single place you went was like its own world, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing really related to each other throughout the whole thing. But Cold War is a really cohesive, very constrained storyline about, you know, a Russian spy. So you're kind of or a Russian bad guy, I guess you could call him. That plus the fact that it's, you know, a piece of history that actually happened. You know, we were able to use themes throughout the entire game and have them come back over and over again. So,
right,
Bell's theme is one. The main theme is another. You know, 1981 is another one. Those three themes were kind of sprinkled throughout the score.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could talk about Call of Duty for hours, but I did want to make sure to ask you about Mass Effect. I think, for one, there is this remastered collection coming out, and the scores, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be on vinyl.
That's what I've heard.
Yes, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
which is kind of weird because the scores were already released on vinyl. So they're repackaging it again. So
yeah. I mean,
it was a limited run the first time. I think there was like 2,000, and they sold out really fast. But
wow,
yeah, I guess they're doing another vinyl of that.
Yeah. And I did want to make sure to pass on to you because you did one Mass Effect 1 and 2. Those games, for my brother and myself growing up, they were like two of the most special games, and we played them year after year after year after year. And so I just wanted to make sure how much enjoyment we got from those games.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, the fact that they're remastering the trilogy again, you know, and putting it out again says a lot about the series and its appeal to, you know, people, you know, who, like people like you who've played it over and over again. It has so much replayability, almost extraordinary amount of it. So it's really gratifying that I was a small part of that. And that it's still attracting a new audience, you know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. What was it, I mean, just as a general question, what was it like working on those games? Was it I'm guessing it would be a pretty exciting project.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, they were up in Edmonton in the icy tundra of Edmonton, Alberta. And so I would go up there like once or twice for a project, but otherwise I'm completely remote from them.
Right.
So it felt a little bit like that for some reason in that particular experience. But yeah, and they were hard games to make. There's a lot of moving parts with all the conversation wheels and the sort of different branches you could do, and the role-playing nature of the game, along with being a shooter. And yeah, there was a lot to it. All I can say, because these were, you know, this is a little while ago now for me. This is like,
yeah,
like I said, we were making it. It came out in 2007 and 2010. So for the two that I worked on. And yeah, they were challenging. I'll say that, but I'm so proud that I got to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, Jack, I love talking to you. Is there anything else in particular that I haven't brought up that you would like to touch on? It's okay if not. I just don't want to leave anything unsaid.
No, that's completely fine. No, I'm here to answer your questions. If you think of more, I'm always here.
Yeah. Well, Jack, I mean, I've really have enjoyed the games that you've been involved in, as well as the music outside of the games. And so I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Henry. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, everybody. I think that is about it for the show. Please follow the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Music Buds. Check out themusicbuds.com. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And we'll see you next time.